Job chapter 9. The question of all questions. How can man be just with God? What Job says in verse 2. Verse 1, he says, "Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth. How should man be just with God or before God?" Now, to understand this question, we must have an understanding of who God is. We really don't care how God can be just and justify us as long as we can get out of trouble. We really don't care until He does a work of grace. Until He does something in us, we really don't care how He can be just and justify us. Just go down to the local jail and tell them they can go free. That they have been cleared of all charges. You think they're going to care how? You think they will ask, well, how can I be just? No, they're going to say, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Especially the ones that have been in there a long time. They don't care. They just want to go free. Satan said to God concerning Job, I'll make him curse your face skin for skin. Skin for skin. A man will do anything to save his neck. It doesn't matter how. Do you really care how God can be just and justify you? Has this question ever troubled you? Has it ever really, really troubled your heart? How can God, who is holy and just, have anything to do with someone like me? A wiggling maggot like me. Do you really care about that? Do I care about that? I believe I do. I believe you do. I believe you care about it. If you are saved, you care about it. If you are saved, if God has saved you, if He's given you life, you have an interest in this. This is not just a cold doctrinal message. You have an interest in this. How can God be just and have anything to do with a man like me? I want to be saved in a just way. Do you? I do. Do you want to be saved in a just way? I want to be saved in a just way. And here's one of the reasons. And later, no one can come back and condemn me. No one. If I'm saved in a just way, if I'm cleared of all charges, if I'm justified in a just way, no one can condemn me later. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, can't condemn me. Well, it says in Romans, who can condemn us? We have been justified in a just way, so who can condemn us? It's God who justified me. Is there any greater than God? No. That's it. If I find favor with the judge, I don't have to worry about anybody else, do I? Not at all. We want to be saved in a just way. I don't want to deal with God's justice on my own. That will end in disaster. But I want God to deal with me in a way that He can be just and justify me. I don't want to change God. You don't want to change God. God is who He is, and we would not change Him. He's He's absolute perfection. It wouldn't change him. Now the lost would. Those that are lost, they'd change him. They'd whittle him out to be just like they want him to be. Use him when they need him and set him on a shelf when they don't need him. That's the kind of God they want. That's not the kind of God I want or you want. Are you interested? Are you interested in this question? I know it's so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? How can man be just before God? Well, first of all, how is a man brought to this place to even have an interest? You and I were not always interested in this, were we? There was a time that you and I both had absolutely no interest in how God could be just and justify me. There was a time I didn't give a flip about it. And you, same way. Same way. We were going our own way. Our own way. So how is a man brought to this place to even ask this question? Well, first of all, it's through the preaching of the gospel. That's what I'm doing right now, what Frank did here Sunday, and Eric, and it's through the preaching of the gospel. It's through the hearing of the gospel. It's through the preaching of truth. Truth about God. Truth about Jesus Christ. And truth about ourselves. I thought about this today as I was going over these notes. God is not who we think He is. You thought. Not by nature. The way we used to think of God. He's not who we thought He was. He's not like we thought He was. God said in the Psalms, you thought I was altogether just like yourselves. You thought I was like you, didn't you? Boy, is that low thoughts of God or what? And that's awful high thoughts of ourselves, isn't it? To think that God's like me. But God is not who we think He is. Christ is more than we think He is. This world thinks, when they look at Jesus Christ, they think He's a good man. He's a man who went about doing good. No, this man's God. This man's God. He's more than we think He is. And we are more sinful than we think we are. Oh my. We haven't even scratched the surface on how sinful we are by nature. We couldn't handle it, could we? If God was to reveal to me how sinful I am by nature, we couldn't handle it. When Christ was made to be sin for us, He sweat great drops of blood. I've never done that. The strongest conviction of sin on any of us has never brought great drops of blood. But when He was made to be sin, because He knew the full depth of it. He knew the full vileness of it. He knew the cesspool of it. He knew it. So how is a man brought to this place? Through the preaching of the gospel. Secondly, by conviction of the Holy Spirit, takes the preaching of the gospel and He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. What it says over in John 16:8. We must be convicted of sin. We must have some understanding of sin. We must have some understanding of righteousness and our need of righteousness. Because until that happens, until the Holy Spirit convicts us of these things, we're not even concerned about righteousness, are we? Not really. Not really. And He must convict us of judgment. We deserve the wrath of God. But He took it out on His Son. What I deserve was taken out on Christ. This is not something we come to of ourselves. This is a work of God. Now, as I said earlier, how is a man brought to this place? It's through the preaching of the gospel of who God is. The Scriptures teach us that God is holy. Let's never get over that. I'm telling you, let's We hear it so much, don't let it go over your head. They cry, holy, 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 day and night, Lord God Almighty. They are constantly crying, holy, holy, holy. God is in His what? It says God is in His holy temple. Now you look up the word holy, and my soul, it's just scripture after scripture after scripture speaking of God's holiness. But let's look at a few examples of God's holiness, Him acting in holiness. Look over in Exodus chapter 4. Let me see if I got that right. Exodus 4. Yeah. Let's look here in Exodus 4. Look in verse 24. Now remember this. God called Moses and He's going to send Moses down to Egypt to be a deliverer. He told him that. You're going to go to Egypt and you're going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so He's on His way there. In verse 24, and it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met Moses. That's who it met him. He met Moses, and God sought to kill him. You know why? He did not circumcise that boy. God told him to do that. He was supposed to do that, and he didn't do it. His wife didn't want to do it. Read, dear. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. What was she upset? She just threw it at his feet. And says, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Boy, there's a message there. Christ is a bloody husband. He's our bloody husband. But now listen, that's not the message tonight. So he let him go. Who let him go? God let Moses go. God wasn't going to kill Moses. I assure you, if he hadn't circumcised that boy, he'd have killed him. God is holy. He doesn't change. He says, this is the law. This is what you do. I command this. Now, I tell you what, just don't do it. See what happens. This is a holy God. Moses, you're dealing with a holy God. You're not dealing with a God who compromises. We are not dealing with a compromising God. God is holy. He said He sought to kill him. And after Zipporah did the circumcision, cast it at his feet, God let him go. He let him go. Now look over in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, look in verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. And he put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. God killed his two sons because they did not sanctify him before the people. I'm not a man as you are. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And here He's acting in holiness. He's acting in it. Uzzah. What did Uzzah do? What did Uzzah do? The ark, remember the oxen, the ark of the covenant is going, David's taking it back. The oxen stumble. And the ark starts to teeter like this. Now, I believe probably any of us in here would have done exactly what Uzzah did. Uzzah reached up to steady the ark, put his hand on it, and God killed him. God killed him right there on the spot. And you talking about putting the fear of God in David and those people around there? Only the priest were to touch that ark. Only the priest. Is God holy? He sure is. We have examples of it through the Word of God. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the court. Uzziah was a great king. He reigned for a lot of years in Israel. He cut down the groves. This man followed after the Lord. King Uzziah followed after the Lord. Isaiah thought highly of this king. Highly of him. But you know what he did? God killed him. This was a king that was a great king and followed after the Lord and cut down the groves. And I mean, he followed after the Lord. You know what he did? He went into the temple and he offered incense. Nobody should do that but the priest. Not the king. I don't care how great the king is. I don't care how great King Uzziah is. You don't go in that temple and offer the incense. That's the priest's job. And when he did it, God killed him. Is God holy? He sure is. He's holy. But is God holy? Just look at Calvary. The greatest example of God's holiness is that man hanging on that cross is the only begotten, beloved, well-beloved Son of God. And when our sins were found on Him, He was put to death. God spared not His own Son. Why? Psalm 22. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? This is the words of our Lord. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Right there in the midst of his suffering, he recognizes why he's suffering. He recognizes God's hand in this. And he recognizes this. Thou art holy. Is God holy? He sure is. He sure is. And here's another thing we must be brought to. Is how sinful we are. How sinful we are. As holy as God is, man is the complete opposite. God is light, man is darkness. God is holy, man is sinful. God is truth, man is a liar. God is good, man is bad to the bone. That's how sinful. I can't put into words. You know, just as much as I cannot describe the holiness of God, I really can't describe the sinfulness and wretchedness of human nature. I really can't. I heard Henry say this, and this is good. When we talk about God's holiness and man's sinfulness, we always, always understate both of them. Write that down. We always understate both of them.
We don't even come up to God's holiness, nor can we go to the depth of man's sinfulness. Look here in Job. Look in Job, back in Job chapter 4. In Job chapter 4, look in verse 17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants. In his angels he's charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. Look over in Job 15. Job chapter 15. Look in verse 14, Job 15, 14. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man? There's your description. There's how the Word of God describes us, isn't it? That's offensive. Listen, that is offensive to human nature. Don't tell me I'm like that. I know I'm not like that. Well, the Word of God says you're like that. It says I'm like that. And you know what? However the Word of God describes us, that's exactly the way we are. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinks iniquity like water? Just drinks it up like water. And of course, I read to you Job 25. Look, let's read it again. Job 25. In verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that's born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shines not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm? And that worm means maggot. And the son of man, which is a worm. He called Jacob a worm. God said, thou worm Jacob. Thou wiggling maggot Jacob. Are we really like that? Do you really see yourself like that? It takes the work of God for us to see what we truly are. It takes a powerful work of God. Look over in Genesis 6. You see this in the Scripture. Genesis chapter 6. Look in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Have we gotten any better? Has the human race gotten any better? Nope. Not one ounce. Because human nature hasn't changed. You know, a lion is still a lion, isn't it? It's still a beast. It's still a beast. It's a beast of the field. And it'll rip your head off if it gets a chance. And you can take the best person out there, and I'm telling you what, give them the right opportunity in the right situation, just push the wrong button, and they'll rip your head off. That's us. That's us. Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And here's what Here's the answer. Verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. Look over in your margin. What's it say? Stinking. Lazarus' sister said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days and he stinketh. And he still stinks. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Here's the problem. Is that we have a real tendency to compare ourselves with each other. And we begin to set ourselves up as the standard of good. God is the standard of good. Not me and not you. God is. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10, look in verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Oh, you hear that one? You're not wise. Cole, I can remember this when he was about 4 years old. He'd go up and measure himself against other kids, see who's the tallest. Measure yourself up against God. There's the standard. Measure yourself up against Jesus Christ. There's the standard. When he was reviled, he opened not his mouth. There's the standard. They lied on him, and he opened not his mouth. They slapped him. He says, when the enemy slap you, don't turn the other cheek. Someone slap you, turn the other cheek. Can you do that? Do a spinning back fist, probably. That's how you turn it. He did. Love your neighbor as yourself. Aren't you glad he's our righteousness? Because he did. He loved his neighbor as himself. He turned the other cheek. He walked an extra mile. He walked more than an extra mile. He's the standard. Not me. You know, we usually judge, and we have a problem, even believers now, we fall into this trap. We have a tendency to want to judge others by what we do and the way we are and what we believe. No, that's what the Word of God says. It's according to the Word of God. It's according to the standard of God. Not me. Not us. We dare not compare ourselves among ourselves. God's the standard. Someone said this. We have never done what we could do. God has put a hedge of restraint about us to keep us from running in headlong into just vile, open sin. Or self-righteousness, which is among the worst of it all. So, to answer the question, briefly here, to answer the question, how can a man be just with God? Turn over to Matthew 19 for a minute. There's something we have to understand here if we're going to answer this question. Look in verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible. We've got to get a hold of this. Salvation with us is absolutely impossible. It's impossible. Don't even try. It's impossible. We have absolutely nothing to do with justification, with justifying ourselves before God. We don't do anything to do it. You say you believe. Was that not the gift of God? Is faith not the gift of God? It is solely a work of God. How? He said, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It is possible. It is possible. For God, who is holy and just, to save me. It is possible for God to be God and justify me, a guilty, vile, wretched sinner. It's possible with God. It's not possible with me, but it's possible with God. Look over in Romans chapter 3. I'll hurry and wind this down. I'm going too long here. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Whose righteousness? His. The righteousness of Christ. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How can God be just and justify me? Through the righteousness of His Son. He can do that. In Jeremiah 23. Let's look in verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. How can God be just and justify me? Through the righteousness of his Son. Jesus Christ. Now, one last scripture. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's the answer to the question. How can a man be just with God? In verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just one, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. How can God be just and justify me? Through the blood, the righteousness, the person of Jesus Christ. Are you interested? That's how.